You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Christy Landwehr.
And I'm Sarah Honiger, and you are listening to this special monthly NRHA episode of Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, May 9th, 2024.
Good morning, Horse World.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
So in this National Reining Horse Association episode, we are going to find out more from Jim Kaiser, the owner of Kaiser Arenas, on how to get your arena dirt perfect for you and your horse sport. We're also going to chat with Taylor Zimmerman, our NRHA Derby Freestyle champion from last year, and Gina Marie Schumacher, who was our 2023 Derby Non-Pro champ, to find out more about what to expect at the event coming up this year. Sarah, so excited about this show and so excited about things that are happening in May before our big NRHA Derby in June, such as the American Horse Publications Conference in Lexington, Kentucky. I get to go with you this year. That's going to be awesome.
Yes, it's going to be so fun. And I haven't gotten to go in a couple of years because normally it falls over top of our Derby or, you know, the weekend before. So I'm so excited for the opportunity to get to do both this year. And our very own Reiner magazine is in the running for a few awards, so it should be a lot of fun, and I'm certainly crossing my fingers.
And Glenn, our producer of the show today and one of the original founders of Horse Radio Network, will be there too, Glenn, and you're kind of up for an award, just saying.
Yes, I guess I am. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I was very flattered about that.
Yes, the Equine Vision Award happens there too, and he is one of the finalists, so it's going to be an exciting year for all.
It's awesome. I can't wait. It's always a really enjoyable time to just have so many people in the same industry, of course, but then really kind of this niche part of it. It's a great time to share ideas and network and just enjoy being together. I can't wait.
And the other thing happening in May, which is super exciting, and I want you to share more with us, Sarah, is the youth officers of the NRHYA get to go to DC. What goes on there?
Yes, it's a really fun event. We've done this 3 years in a row now, and we are fortunate enough to get to join our dear friends at the American Quarter Horse Youth Association. They have great relationships with folks in DC, and so we will go with them. And everyone groups off based on where they live in the U.S. And they actually get to go lobby on the Hill for different pieces of legislation that affect the equine industry. So it's a really fun time. They get to meet youth from other parts of the country that they might otherwise not meet because so many of them aren't trainers. And they show at AQHA events. And we've actually made such great friendships with some of them. We've had some come over to be Reiners. We've had a few of their youth officers end up becoming NRHYA delegates, you know, and just the networking for these youth members is really, really fun to watch.
And it's sponsored by the American Horse Council, right?
In the past, we did do that. We were part of their big fly-in. And in the past couple years, the scheduling just gets tougher and tougher with so many huge horse shows coming for both the AQHYA members and NRHA that this year we're actually just doing it together. We're building on the relationships we've been so lucky to have grow. So with the help of the American Horse Council. And so we'll be going there together.
Oh, I love that. That is such a good way to do that. And also to do crossbreed and cross discipline promotion with those youth. So that's fantastic.
It's really, really an awesome trip. And, you know, you'll have to talk to the youth about it at the Derby. But I think it's so fun because we get there and they are so nervous because, you know, as you know, talking to people in those seats and in that position in our government would be overwhelming, even for adults. I mean, the number one fear of Americans is public speaking. So it's scary for adults to do it, much less youth ranging from 14 to 18. And so we get there and they're really nervous and shy and we leave and they are the most professional public speakers you've ever seen. And the transformation, and they'll say it about themselves, is just massive from one trip.
And speaking about public speaking, the Cinch Public Speaking Contest goes on at our 4-6's NRHA Derby that's presented by Markel in June. And that's what this whole show is about today. So talk a little bit about that speaking contest before we dive into our guests.
Yes, it's a great event. As you mentioned, Cinch is a part of it, and we're so thankful for that partnership. We have multiple age categories for this contest and three different pieces that they can compete in. So they vary in length and in subject from reciting RA General to discussing a community service project that they've held. So, you know, whether they feel comfortable being up there for maybe a minute or two, all the way to 10 minutes, and then split into 13 and under or 14 to 18 age divisions. I think it really gives these youth a good opportunity to step into something that feels scary in somewhat of a protected environment. You know, it's a little less overwhelming than all ages are all in one category. And they compete for huge scholarships. And that's for both ages. And Cinch is giving them some swag bags this year. So I wish you and I could compete in it.
I know. I wish I knew about this stuff back when I was growing up. There seems to be so much more cooler things nowadays, or maybe there's just more access to find out about it. But now I'm so excited to dive in with our guest today as we talk more about the hottest reigning in the world.
We are so excited to welcome our first guest, Jim Kaiser. He is president and co-owner of Kaiser Arenas, a full-service equine arena company offering footing, consulting, Kaiser Arena drags, Prefert horse walkers, and water trailers. Kaiser Arenas has consulted or constructed on arenas in 45 states and 11 countries. Over $300 million in prize money has been awarded on footings selected, installed, and maintained by Kaiser Arenas. And this includes the NRHA Futurity and Derby for the past 37 years, as well as the American Performance Horsemen, NCHA, NRCHA, and AQHA. Kaiser Arenas is the inventor and manufacturer of the Kaiser Arena Drag, or the Red Drag, which is used by equine facilities, National Horse Show Associations, fairgrounds, dude ranches, equine hotels and resorts, horse farms, breeding and training operations, government agencies, equine veterinarians, and private farms and ranches throughout the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Jim, we are so happy to have you joining us today.
Thanks. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. I mean, how could we not invite the man who has actually been in more NRHA Futurity finals, both at the Derby and Futurity, than anyone ever? I think that's a fact not many know.
And a true one.
Well, I'm gonna go ahead and clue him in. That's kind of a joke between Sarah and I too.
You knew she was gonna mention it, Jim. You just knew it.
That's you know, that's one of the great things about doing this kind of thing with friends. You get to play around a little.
It's the very best part. And you know, Jim, I don't know if it was at our Derby or Futurity one year, but he clued me in on the fact that he has competed in more finals. He's been on more finals ground than anyone, and he's never won an award. So we were sure to have a first place ribbon hanging in the tractor at that event.
something along the lines of that conversation. And then Sarah shows up with a ribbon for me. So
hey,
greatly appreciated.
To Jim's point, you got to have fun at these things, especially, you know, weeks in, and it gets a little delusional and a little slap happy with lack of sleep. We got to keep it fun. So, Jim, I want you to tell our listeners today, what are the important steps of building a new outdoor or covered or indoor arena? We know there's base and footing and maintenance, and you are the very expert on all of that. So could you kind of go through like the basic process of where someone might begin if that's the path they're wanting to take?
So we always tell people that there's basically three key elements to a successful arena of any kind. And that starts with your material selection. You have to know what material works for your discipline and what those requirements are. You have to know what you're looking for. The second one is the right equipment. You have to have the right equipment to take care of this material. Otherwise, you're buying an expensive race car and trying to run it on iron tires. The third part of it is you have to have operator knowledge on what that material is supposed to function and feel like, and how to use your equipment to get the results that you need. So those are your three key elements to any arena. But your fourth one, if you want to open this up to building an outdoor arena, you also have to have the correct drainage plan. And your material selection is probably going to be a little bit different. You've got a wider variety of materials that you can use on an indoor or a covered arena versus what you can in outdoor because it's exposed to the elements.
Yes, I have an outdoor arena gym, and I teach riding lessons to people that are just learning. And I'll tell you, with our Colorado winds sometimes out here on the prairie, it just blows away. I mean, it's just, there's so much it's crazy.
Yeah, there's different climates even require a different type of footing, you know, like you were just talking about in your area. Always have to understand, you know, what your annual rainfall is. How does that rain actually come? What are your wind conditions for that'll cause your wind erosion? There's places that we build arenas that we don't always get to use the sand that we would really prefer because it's not a heavy enough sand to be stable enough to withstand wind conditions like that. So you have to use a bigger, heavier, coarser sand. So you have to be aware of all of those factors.
That makes complete sense. And, you know, this is our Derby show today. So I want to dive in a little bit to the ground at our two big events that we do with you every year, our Derby in June and our Futurity in November. The riders and trainers just brag on it all the time. So tell us a little bit about the process of how it enters the Coliseum. How does all that work?
The material that's used at the Derby and the Futurity is actually stored in a building on the fairgrounds there in Oklahoma City. Twice a year, it's installed in the Coliseum and Barn 6. The first installation usually happens around Memorial Day for the Derby, and then it remains in there until after the AQHA Youth World Show in August. We install it again in October, right before the AQHA World Show, and then it comes out again about the middle of December. That process usually takes about a day for each arena, being the Coliseum and Barn 6. We usually install 13 to 14 inches of that material in the Coliseum. That's probably about the equivalent of about 1,500 cubic yards, and about half of that amount over in Barn 6, the difference being that the Coliseum has a concrete floor, and on occasion, for example, at the AQHA World Championships, we might run barrels in there, and so you just need more material to make sure that you don't ever find the floor. That's brought in. We can usually run about 5 dump trucks when we're putting it in the Coliseum, and we actually are compacting that material so as we put it in there so that we can establish a base a lot faster during the actual show prep part of it.
And how long does all of that take? I mean, it's such a process and we kind of get to see it right as it's ending, but start to finish, what does that all look like?
Two and a half days. And those are pretty big days. It's the Coliseum itself usually takes most of a day. One of the harder parts, believe it or not, about any of it is installing the material in the alleyway. Going down into the Coliseum, that probably takes as long as doing Barn 6 itself.
I would have never thought that. Why does that part take so much longer compared to the other pieces?
There's about 4 different elevation changes in there that when that's uncovered, it actually looks like about 4 different steps as that goes up the ramp. And you've got to make sure that you have enough material in there that, I guess, for lack of a better description, the front of the step has enough material over it that you'll never see it during heavy traffic. The other part that makes that hard is you've got all of the, you know, there's parts of that that are very, very confined working areas, and then you've got some concrete columns to work around and some different things like that.
Well, next time I see anyone running down underneath the Gateway of Champions and heading into that arena, I'm definitely going to have more of an appreciation for that. Jim, our folks love, as Chrissy mentioned, the ground so much at our events, and I'm sure they're going to leave and want to know what they could look for in a drag to get their best footing at home. What are some tips of what they should look for if they were shopping around or looking for one for their use at their own place?
I think the first thing that I'm going to say on that is that it needs to be the right drag for their discipline. Now, obviously, you know, we're probably focused on reining here. But even that being said, you still, you know, there are some specialty drags on the market, some claiming that they were designed to do barrel racing and things like that. And so those particular drags won't necessarily work to make and or maintain reining ground. But the characteristics of the drag themselves, one of the things that you would look for is how does that drag going to keep my footing level and consistent? And so it really needs to have some type of leveling capability. And if possible, I prefer for that to be hydraulic. Two out of the three models that we make have a hydraulic leveling blade. The third model has a stationary leveling blade. I guess number two on the list would be the ability to easily and accurately control the depth of the drag. You have to have a positive depth control on a piece of equipment like that so that you're not trying to guess at the depth that you're running and it stays consistent for you. After that, I think that, you know, especially again, the focus of this being reining, the ability to maintain the type of base that your discipline requires. That's why we offer different options on our equipment, is because there are different requirements on different types of bases. You know, one of the things that a lot of people often overlook is matching their tractor with their drag. A lot of times people won't have enough tractor to buy enough drag to really, really maintain their footing the way that they need to. A lot of times you'll see people that have an extremely, extremely small tractor or want to use a four-wheeler to try and create really, really good footing, and that's a very, very difficult thing. I don't know. After that, I think some of the things that I like to see on them, if possible, I like to see a water system, the possibility maybe of some hydraulic rippers. Those are just some of the basic things that should be considered. And then, you know, I guess the other part of me says that I'd like to see that drag be red and have our brand on it.
Yes. And Jim, I just want to say thank you so much for being a corporate partner of the National Reining Horse Association for so long. And I believe it's been 32 years. Am I correct in that number?
That would feel about right.
Yes.
I know it's got to be very, very close to that. You know, there's a lot of things here that unfortunately weren't documented as well as you'd like for them to have been, but that would feel like about right.
Well, it's been an awesome relationship. So I know there's so many nuances of a drag that you were just talking about. And knowing that this, of course, is a reining show, what are some of the different specifics of footing that you want to see in reining that you might not want to see in barrel racing, dressage, jumping, some of the other disciplines?
Well, fortunately, our industry has evolved enough that we understand that all these disciplines have different footing requirements for the athletes to perform at their best while minimizing injuries. The differences between the footing requirements for these disciplines usually relates to the level of compaction in the base material, the depth and feel of the cushion layer, and the moisture content. you know, another aspect of reining footing is how does your cushion layer interact with your compacted base layer? Different types of sand are going to have a lot different feel on different base materials. And you're trying to control, you're trying to provide enough cushion, yet at the same time also somewhat control how fast that ground is to stop on, or I guess how easy or how difficult.
This has all been such great information for our listeners today. And you already mentioned that your preferred drag would be a red one with your brand on it. So we want to make sure that people can find out more information about Kaiser Arenas and where to go to get the education, how to get in contact with you. So what is the best way for them to reach out and gain a little bit more knowledge if they're leaving this podcast and wanting to know more?
Our website address is KaiserArenas.com. And that's where you'll find all of our contact information, the information about our consultation service and our equipment.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thank you so much again for being such a valued corporate partner of ours, for being a friend to NRHA, and for being here with us today.
All right. Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Jim. And we'll see you, gosh, really soon, next month.
It's not long. Yeah, not very far off.
Well, I so enjoyed that. And let me tell you, the very first time that I officially met Jim, not my first time in a freshly drug arena, love them, love to do figure eights in them, serpentines in them, all the things. So he had just drug in our Coliseum at one of our shows. And I went, I got to go talk to Mr. Kaiser. He's at the opposite end of the arena. I will walk along the wall. And I walked very good along the wall. I came up to him and I go, hi, Mr. Kaiser. I want to meet you. My name is Christy Landwehr. And he just looked at me. He goes, not your first rodeo. I go, no. And then he proceeded to tell me all these stories of scribes and judges and all these people walking across the middle of his dirt after he had just made it perfect. And he's like, I don't even know what they're thinking. I don't even know. It was great.
That's such a classic. Every derby and every fraternity, there's, you know, we have a drag break and we'll take the youth officers on the back of a gator and throw out corporate partner goodies to the crowd and just kind of get everybody going again in the middle and where there might be some downtime. And every time I'm driving through his beautiful arena on that little gator, I just feel his eyes in the back of my head being like, don't you go messing any of this up.
Absolutely. Well, it was so good to have him on to talk about that, because no matter what you do with your arenas at home or arenas where you board or arenas where you show, it's amazing how much goes into it and how it's so fascinating because it's really just dirt, but there's so much involved.
Well, speaking of things that have a lot involved and you don't quite know when you see it at the surface level, our next guest is our past freestyle champion at the Derby.
We are so excited to have our next guest on the show, Taylor Zimmerman. She is from Rogersville, Missouri. She was born into a family of reining enthusiasts with her grandfather being a multi-million dollar owner of ours. She graduated in May of 2023 from Southern Methodist University with a degree in journalism and is about to graduate in May with her master's degree in business management. Hi, Taylor. It's great to have you on the show today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You're just a little busy. Wow, that's a lot going on. Are you going to go for a PhD after? Where are you at with that?
So right now my plan is to graduate and, you know, get started in the work world and then maybe go back and finish online and get my MBA degree. So I haven't really decided that yet. It's kind of just something that's maybe in the works for the future. But for now, that my plan is to just get started with work and see where that takes me.
That is brilliant. So I have to tell everyone how you and I met. It was so funny. And hopefully you can share the story too a little bit better when we dive into the interview. But you coming in and saying that your run, you know, at Derby last year that you had done, you were like, wasn't it the slider that fell off, right? The slider plate?
Yeah. His slide plate flew off in our first stop. It actually almost hit me in the head.
And so you're like, so that just didn't go so well. And so, you know, you can sign up last minute at our event for freestyle if we know that you're going to do something that's going to be good and we're going to enjoy it and all the things. So you did. And
yes.
You just put it all together and then, gosh, you win. Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun for sure, to say the least.
It was awesome. So let's dive into the question. So what do you like most about reining? Why did you choose that discipline?
Well, so when I was younger, when I first started riding, I was about 5, and my parents had gotten me a jumper pony. And so I think that was just a starter horse. Like, of course, a pony is every little girl's dream. And so I think that's something that I wanted. And I didn't do jumping with it. I just ran around a lot. Mm-hmm. And my family has always done reining. And my dad and grandpa are very big into it. And my mom, she used to do all around and really focused on like the pleasure side of it. And so I definitely was going to do Western, of course. And then naturally reining just was something that I started doing. So I actually learned to ride at an all-around barn. So I learned, you know, how to sit in the saddle more so than anything from the get-go. And then I had my little pony that I would lope around and stuff, and reining just came very naturally. It was just something that I was, you know, born into. So it wasn't really something I picked, but I would have picked it if I could. You know, I love it. But that's just kind of how it came to be.
That's awesome. And Taylor, speaking of how things came to be, you kind of talked about the journey into entering the freestyle last year, but then you became the champion of the whole event, and your run was just absolutely beautiful. And I know your connection to the horse you won it on, it was really special. So tell our listeners a little bit about what it was like to win it, and then specifically with that horse under you as well.
Whenever we originally went to the Derby to compete in the major event, and that didn't work out, losing the slide plate. So getting to enter the freestyle was just so cool on its own. And then getting to perform and, you know, win was even more amazing. And that horse means a whole lot to me. We raised him. My grandfather, it's a product of his breeding program. So that was super special. And I've been showing him since he was 3. So really, since he could start being shown, I've been showing him, and he's just been, you know, so solid for me every time I go in the pen. He's a big confidence builder, and he just continues to be just such a good horse for me.
Well, and he's also beautiful. He is just
yes, he is
handsome.
Very pretty.
Oh yes. My gosh. And we're so loving using you as our marketing right now for the freestyle. It's going to be this year, once again, sponsored by Visit Oklahoma City, which we're very excited to have them as a partner in it. And it's always on the Thursday when the kind of the end of the Derby. So this year it's going to be on June 20th, but very excited. So, but let's dive into a little bit more about just freestyle in general. For those that are listening that might not know what it is, could you explain to us a little bit more about the nuances of it? Like, how many particular things do you have to do when you pick what you're going to do in your freestyle? How did you personally choose costumes, music, and maneuvers to come up with during your run? Let's dive into all of that.
Yeah. So I actually just learned all the details of the freestyle, you know, last year, right the day before I performed. So I didn't know what went into it until the night before. And I believe the rules are you have to have 3 sliding stops, you have to have 2 spins, and it has to go either way, and 4 spins within each maneuver, and then, or 4 consecutive spins, but it counts as like 1 maneuver each way. And then you have to, I believe the 3 stops, the figure 8, and then a spin both way are the only required maneuvers, but a lot of people tend to add their own creative spin on it. So I know one person that performed last year brought in a secondary horse that was loose, and it was doing maneuvers with the rider and the horse, so they do something like that. Some people will, you know, add maneuvers like side passing, or will add take their bridle off or take the tack off to make it an increase in difficulty. But when I was creating my pattern, I didn't have time to practice, you know, doing it without a bridle or without a saddle. So that wasn't something I was going to test out in the arena. But I just picked a song that I thought reminded me of my horse. And I picked Golden Hour by Juke. And that song is about like the golden hour that I believe a couple meets, but I related it to my horse as in he's my golden horse. So he's Palomino, so he's very bright. And so that's how I relayed the song over to him. And yeah, I dressed up in all gold and I put a bunch of gold fringe on him. And my pattern, the way I made it is I tried to use parts and pieces of all the different NRHA patterns that were given, but I changed the beginning. I decided to trot down the center of the pen and then lope around and then run and stop when the main part of the song happened. And so I kind of ran my circles from there. And then I turned right after my first stop and ended with three big stops.
Well, Taylor, the run was so beautiful to watch. And your song choice, I love hearing how you paired it because, I mean, just visually, just gold flying around the arena in all terms. It was beautiful, but I think the meaning of that is really special too.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a special moment. My mom actually came up with the idea of the song. So I wasn't really thinking that path in the beginning. I kind of was thinking like, there's a song, A Star Full of Skies, or A Sky Full of Stars by Coldplay. And that was kind of my first thought. But then when she recommended the Golden Hour, that's when I was like, that definitely is perfect.
Well, shout out to mom, because that really was a great touch.
Yeah, it was perfect.
If anyone listening today wants to see the run, we actually have the full run, full video on NRHA's Facebook page or Vimeo. And then there are clips of it on our Instagram as well. And I would highly suggest watching it. It's absolutely beautiful to relive. And well, Taylor, I'm sure everyone is wondering, are you planning to enter it again this year and defend your championship? What is your plan this year at the Derby?
So I am planning on doing it again with him this year. I don't have anything picked out in particular right now, but I want to do something sort of like it. Like I want to do like a part two of it and add to it a little bit, I think. But I haven't put it all together yet, but I'm definitely going to be entering on him again this year.
I am so excited. You just made my day.
Yes, I'm very excited too.
Yeah, and I get to be spoiled and watch it in person. So that's going to be a fun night. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for being on the show today and explaining a little bit more about freestyle and about your win last year. And we're excited to see you defend your title this coming up month. It'll be great in June.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me.
So I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but my very first introduction to reining was through freestyle. And it was at the National Western Stock Show that happens here in Denver in January. And I remember leaving that event going, I don't know what I just watched, but I want to keep watching it. And I've pretty much gone every year since. It's a fantastic event in our sport.
Oh, that's an awesome intro. And, you know, to your point, I think it's the best way to kind of dip your toe in the water and get to just see some beautiful horses, to choreography and music you enjoy. I mean, what's not to love?
Yes. So for those listening that are in the Oklahoma City area or want to be, June 20th is your night and it's free to come. We're not going to charge anyone that night because Visit Oklahoma City is sponsoring. So everyone gets to come watch it for free. So please do plan on being a part of that. So now I'm so excited to also have another champion from last year. And this was the person who won our non-pro. Are you excited about it, Sarah?
Yes. So Gina is going to be joining us here shortly. And when you think about someone that really loves the sport and really loves their horses, you just really picture her face every time. I just have never even seen her finish a beautiful run without like falling over the neck of her horse and petting on them and loving on them. And it's really just a beautiful moment. So I can't wait for her to join us.
We are so excited to have the next guest on our Derby show today. Gina Schumacher surpassed the NRHA $1 million rider status in 22, riding CSO Bingo, bred and trained by her and her family. Later that same year, she earned our Cinch Non-Pro Futurity Co-Championship, piloting Gunning for the Night, owned by XCS Ranch. She also won the 23 NRHA Pro Derby, Non-Pro Derby, presented by Markel Championship. And her introduction to reining was through her mother. And also, she also bred and loved horses. And originally, Gina and her entire family is from Switzerland. And her family now owns and operates a facility in Texas, which is home of head trainer and NRHA $2 million rider, Dwayne Latimer. Hi, Gina. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. And you?
I am good. And I'm so glad to have you on the show today. Let's go ahead and start with the question of how did your family become involved with reining to begin with?
So my mom and dad, they were, you know, traveling for his work and yeah, going around the world. And whenever we got a little older, mom decided she wanted to have a horse again and do something with us, with the kids. And so they went on to search for what kind of horse she wanted, and they went from Arabians to Andalusians to, you know, all sorts of things, and they were always a little crazy. And she found a quarter horse, which was super nice and quiet, and that's how she, you know, got into quarter horses. And then she flew to the States and get to know, you know, what other divisions or, you know, sports you can do with those horses. And that's how she found reining.
I love that. And I know you and your mom are the ones that are passionate about reining, but aren't your dad and brother, they're also the top in another industry as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so my dad is a Formula One race driver, and he had an amazing career with Ferrari, and then he did a little bit with Mercedes in the end of his career after he was retired for, what, maybe a year, decided he wanted to go back. And then awesome. My brother followed after him, and he is trying his best to get his way up there too.
So at your property in Texas, is there a racetrack for cars as well as all the riding arenas for the horses? Are both things located at that property?
Yeah, so our ranch is pretty big. And in the back of the, we have a little field over there, and they built like a dirt track for UTVs, side-by-sides, or however they're called.
Sure.
And so my brother and Ian love to race, and then they have fun out there.
I love that. I need to come visit sometime. It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to go to Switzerland. I went to Lucerne, and I absolutely fell in love with it. Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about where you were raised in Switzerland and how all that was?
So I'm actually German, but lived most of my life in Switzerland with my family. And we are in the area of Geneva, and it's super pretty there, and just, yeah, wonderful little country with so much to see. Very nice food and great people too.
I agree. I got to go on a hike when I was there, and literally I felt like I was in the movie Heidi. There was bells on the cows, yeah, up in the mountains, in the Alps, and oh my goodness, I had an amazing time.
Yes.
So because this is our Derby show, as of course our NRHA Derby is coming up next month, can you tell us a little bit about the horse that you won on last year in the non-pro level 4?
Yeah, so his barn name was Bacio, which translates to kiss in Italian. And he was also raised, we bred him, trained him. I had him most of his life with me, and he was also raised in Switzerland. And my mom showed mom of that horse, and I showed the dad of this horse. So he was really special. And yeah. He was just overall a super nice horse, and now he continues his career with his new owners in somewhere in Washington. I think that's where he is now.
I love his barn name. Thank you so much for sharing how they get their barn names. I mean, I know their registered names are important to show breeding and bloodlines, but boy, I love how the barn names are given.
Yes.
That is great. So are you going to be showing at the Derby this year? Will we see you?
Of course, I will be back. I have two nice horses that I'm going to try to do my best on. And yeah, we'll see.
Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing you again. So your love of horses always shines through with everything you do, Gina. And on nearly every run, you hug your horse at the end. We have lots of videos and photos to prove this. You have such a passion about your animals. Can you tell our listeners what makes them so special to you?
I don't know. I love them. They're just nice. Whenever I'm sad, I can go there, and they make me feel good. You know, I can't really explain it. I'm happy when I ride. I'm also happy when I walk them around. I'm happy when I see them, and I think that is really important for me when I ride. I want them to like me too, you know, because I want them to want to do it for me. And yeah, whenever they do that, it's even if we don't do good, and but they try. It makes me happy, and I'm happy with them.
You are wonderful. That horse rider combination that we talk about all the time, that partnership is so real. And it doesn't matter if you're a trail rider. It doesn't matter if you're jump your horse. It doesn't matter what kind of level of competition. That partnership has to shine through. So here you are at the highest level in our sport of reining. And obviously it shines through. So I think that's great. Are there, Gina, specific other horses that really have been special in your life?
Oh, there's been a few. I mean, I like them all. There are certainly some that I like more than others. But yeah, there's, you know, there's my old study died 2 years ago. And then who else? There's Frankie that was really special to me. His name is Frankie. His name's God and Nifty Gun. Sorry. I don't know. Nice. Not everybody knows him. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, of course, Billy Ganastepia. He has changed my career, and yeah, I'm kind of worried now because he's 8 and I probably won't ever find another one like him because he was one of a kind in Chopin. So yeah, those are probably the most special ones.
And then how about one more quick question, follow up to the last. Are there any certain qualities when you're looking for a horse that you think is going to do well in the reining pen? What are you looking for? Are you looking for a curiosity in them? Are you looking for an eagerness? What are some of the qualities that shine?
Well, for me, it's really important that they want to work with you. So whenever I feel like they're trying to do the right thing, you know, maybe they can't do it right yet, but they're willing to let me show them what I want from them. That is really important because you can have all the talent in the world. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to do it. So that is something, sometimes it's not as important that they have the most talent, but if they have enough talent to do, you know, what they need to do in that level, but they have a better mind, I will always pick the one with less talent over, you know, the one with more talent. If they don't have a mind, there's nothing I can do about it. So that's something that is really important for me, that they want to work with you.
That makes very good sense. So Gina, if people want to find out more about you and get to know you better, do you have a website that you want to guide them to, a Facebook page? What is the best way?
So, I mean, I'm not the best Instagrammer, but I try and put out there, like, what I do with my horses a little bit more and, you know, try and show our days, what we do at the ranch or what I do with them. And then there's my official Instagram page. It's Gina Schumacher. And then we have a new website coming up pretty soon at xcsranch.com. And then we have a great Facebook page that Chelsea does, so there's always new stuff on there too. So really, either or works best for whatever anybody wants to check out.
Well, that sounds wonderful, Gina. Thank you so much for being on the show today, and we'll see you in a month.
Thank you.
Well, I have to say, anyone who is a fan of the reining industry, I mean, you just see Gina's name all over the place. I mean, it's been that way, but especially now, she was in the Run for a Million. She just won the NRBC. She won all of the major events these last few years. So it was so cool to have her on with us today.
It sure was. And she's phenomenal. And I'm just so glad that we were able to do that. And for those that are listening, just know that you can find our reining podcast on nrha.com/podcast and also on our Facebook and our Instagram. And there's also many ways to find it, of course, through Horses in the Morning and also on Horse Radio Network. So thank you so much, everyone, for being a part of today's show. And we hope to all see you in June at our event at the Derby. It will be June 11th to the 23rd in Oklahoma City.
Now we hope you all will go out and have the slide of your life.